It's everyone's favorite time of year. It's the parent-teacher meetings.
I know.
They're on the horizon. There's no getting away from them. And honey, you're ruining our kid today. We're going to talk about how do you approach these things. Whatever is happening in your kid's life, whatever you think might be going on in there.
I mean, I was outside Mikey's school the other day and there was two girls, maybe 50 or 60 year girls, walking by me and they'd just been given their reports now.
In the envelope?
In the envelope. Our reports have not come home yet, so
funny.
But this is what I overheard her saying, just write their, just do their signature yourself. You don't have to show them. How will they ever find
you
out?
Heard this.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the girls said, I know, I'd have to tell them, they'd find out at the parent teacher meeting anyway. She was like, okay, yeah, you got a point there. And I was like, it's so funny. They're still
so
trying
to.
So
you out of the car for 5 minutes. Yeah. You really soaked up some info here.
Well, it was just so funny because I was thinking, that's bizarre. We're still doing that. Like, these kids are still doing that. How do we get away with this? I mean, not only do the reports get put in an envelope, but they get sent to the parents via the class, you know, the school app thing, school whatever it is. And it is so
funny. Shit advice from that friend, by the way, as well. It's like,
you've sang it. You say it'd be fine.
It's like, this is advice I'm giving you, but I'd never do myself.
Don't teenagers have their own kind of strange set of rules when it comes to ethical rules? Like, I mean, it's like, is that just something we all did? Were we all just a little bit grey? Was there no black and white when we were teenagers? Are you just trying to get away with shit the whole time?
Well, we were haunted by the all-seeing eye that we were going to go to hell if we did lie.
The guilt. The guilt.
The sense that not being able to sleep at night, saying extra prayers going to bed, genuinely, like, literally going through the act of contrition.
Yeah, lighting candles, hoping that will help the exam along.
Oh, my God.
How many of us did that?
The parent-teacher meeting, as the kids said, that's when it's all going to come out.
Yes.
And the way these are run now, I'd love to hear from you guys. How's it run at your school? What's the deal? Like, is it like the Montessori we were at in England where a little bell would ring?
That was crazy. You'd be mid-sentence and they'd be like, the bell rang. Which was so not Montessori at all to treat parents like that. But anyway, you know, that
was
a strange
place. The teacher was trying to catch a fly during our one.
Yeah, that was such a strange place.
There was a fly buzzing around. She kept trying to catch it. It was like, we've got...
I have very few regrets, but that is one of my regrets, sending Mikey to Montessori. And the only thing that gets me through is he made lovely friends, I made lovely friends, but my God, what a money pit that was, because we paid a fortune.
Yeah, there's a lot of people claiming to be Montessori that aren't.
Yeah, and he pretended to be a dog for 2 years. He really did. He pretended to be a dog.
Puppies.
Who painted. So the paintings we were getting home were very messy. And like Grant, you know, he is a very imaginative kid.
There's quite
whatever.
A lot of people that would think that that kind of child-led, that he's exploring.
Yeah, but I didn't send him to that kind of school.
No.
I didn't send him to a Steiner school. I sent him to a Montessori school.
And
where
paid
I wanted
for it.
Him to have a Montessori
school. We didn't have the money, might I add.
We definitely couldn't afford
it. We're not flush. That is such an Irish mammy word.
Yeah.
We're not flush now.
And all the other parents were allowed in the room, but not the parent who was a Montessori teacher. Couldn't have her seeing what was actually happening
in
there.
Room. Yeah. But the parent-teacher meetings that I've been to with you over the years, Tina, you do have a very good approach on these.
Really?
And yeah, you're very good at letting them do the talking. And you're like touching my leg on. Let her talk.
Well, we got that advice from lovely Meg Bellingham in England. Remember, she said, when you go in, stay quiet. Let them do the work.
And Meg Bellingham, shout out to Meg Bellingham. Yeah. Absolute queen of...
Yeah, she's a legend.
Let you talk.
Yeah, she's brilliant. I miss her. But she was like, don't fill their gaps for them. Mm-hmm. And that is great advice. And when I had that advice from her, I have to say, when I was on the other side of it, I was really terrified when I was a teacher, because then all of a sudden, it's terrifying to have to fill those gaps.
So would she give you suggestions as to what to say? Like, because there's obviously certain questions you should ask.
Yeah, well,
you think you should let them lead it?
Absolutely let them lead it. And if they say anything you don't like, you need to say, explain that. What do you mean by that?
Expand on that.
Yeah. You tell me what you think.
Well, Charlie, sometimes a little bit rough with his hands.
How so?
Tell me more.
Tell me more. Yeah, exactly. And you know what?
I want incidents, names, times.
Well, make them do their work. I mean, and don't be afraid to call them on stuff. And really important, ask them social questions about your child.
Like?
Like, you know, how do they seem? What is their mood at school? Who are their friends? Do they seem happy? Do they talk to other children in class? These are the things you want to ask your teacher, because you want to see, have they even taken my child's personality in? Are they observing who my child is? Do they know my child at all? Yeah, it's easy for them to mark their copies and put things in, you know, in a report, you know, but do they actually know my child? Have they tuned into them?
They've taken the time.
Have they taken the time? In secondary school, this is really important because they've got like hundreds of children under their care. Have you noticed, is my child okay? Because guess what? That is your job too. You are there to keep them safe when I'm not there to keep them safe.
And what about, like, well, let's go with the primary first, right?
Okay.
Primary school first, where this teacher is with this kid all day. And, you know, the class sizes are a problem pretty much across the world. Classes are too big. Very hard for them, to give the teachers their credit if they're tuned in. Shout out to all of them. They're working really hard.
Yeah, they are working really hard.
Trying to know the personality of up to 30 kids in some cases is...
Well,
33 kids in my class.
I think knowing the knowing the personalities of 33 kids is easy. It's your job. You get to know them. You do. And you fall in love with those kids and you love them. They're in your class. They're your family.
So what if they say something?
But keeping them up academically is harder when you're the only teacher.
What if they say something that upsets you, though?
The parent.
In the meeting, the teacher says something that upsets you. Like they go, well, he's, you know, he is a bit temperamental, or, you know, at times I feel like he doesn't try.
Okay. Well, I mean, first of all, if a teacher is going to say that to you, that child is really doing that. Because trust me, the teacher does not want to have that conversation with you either. And they'd have had to have gone and got permission of their principal to bring it up. So if the teacher comes to you with something hard for you to hear, they've actually had to talk about it a fair bit. And
you'd
you'd hope. Because they have to be able to back it up. And if they haven't, then they're in big trouble. Because if you complain about it, they're in trouble for not flagging it with their principal.
And what if they say something to you that isn't as explicit as he doesn't seem to try? He's way behind on X and he doesn't seem that fussed about school. They say something that's upsetting to you on the grounds of, you know, that it isn't even a comment on him as, or her as a kid. But it's upsetting to hear it because you know your kid.
Yeah, well, that's very hard in the moment because you're so emotionally attached to your child and you're so protective of them. Even if you know it's true, you're so protective of your child in that moment. But a good way for you to navigate your emotions in it is to ask them why they think that. Like, what has happened that makes you think that? Show me the work. Show me what he or she needs to be doing. How can I help them at home? And to be fair, this is the toughest bit for parents because the teacher can't do everything. And just like if your child was playing basketball or doing karate or Irish dancing, they'd be expected to practice at home. Now, homework is something I really struggle with because I think primary school kids just shouldn't be getting it. But there are certain things that the parent has to be doing every night with the kid at home if they want their kid to thrive. You need to be doing sounds. You need to be doing numbers. You need to be doing your tables. You need to be reading with your child every night. Those are just givens. That, like, if there's no homework, that doesn't mean you're not practicing with your kid. And it's so hard to carve out that time. But unfortunately, it's so important you do.
Right. So what if you feel like your kid is having a tough time in there and you're going into this parent-teacher meeting, whether it's the sense that there might be some intimidation, some bit of bullying or some kind of friendship thing that's not working out great. And, you know, people move kids for less. When you're going in there trying to suss out something, how do you do that without going, listen, you're not watching, but this kid's being horrible to my kid?
Well, what you do is you take this as not the only meeting you're going to have. You take the parent-teacher meeting as an opportunity to set up the next meeting you're having with this teacher. And you say, I have a worry about my kid. I feel like this is going on. I'm sure you are aware of this. If you're not, I want you to observe my child and this situation for a week, and I'd like to pencil in a meeting with you for next week or the week after. You're supposed to be able to meet your teacher whenever you want, as long as you've arranged a meeting, and then come back to it then when the teacher has had time to actually think about it and observe. Because these teachers are humans as well, and in those moments they're so frazzled thinking about all the parent-teacher meetings they have that night, it might not be the best time to have that row with them.
Fair enough.
You know, use it as an opportunity to just figure out, okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to see, is this happening or is this just a worry I'm having, and then come back to me and let me know.
Well, I mean, being quiet and allowing them to talk is a challenge.
Don't fill the gaps for them.
You just have so much that you find you want to get off your chest at these things.
Yeah.
And actually letting other people talk is a superpower.
Well, secondary school parent-teacher meetings are really hard because you've got so little time. There's a queue behind you. I mean, you really feel like the teacher doesn't know your kid, you know? Yeah. And you're the one who wants to ask stuff, because if you're dealing with teenagers, you don't know anything about their life.
So the secondary, we'll come back to it later in the show. We'll talk about the secondary element of it, of things. But I know that that's not where most of our listeners reside, but that is on the way for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be some kind of consolation to hear what secondary school parents are dealing with at these meetings, where you're rotating between tables, multiple personalities and teachers.
Yeah.
But we've got three incredible questions that we need to get to in today's show, including somebody who feels very, very guilty about giving their kid a bottle before bed. This is something that's very common. We need to talk about it and why you probably shouldn't feel that guilty about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our second question is, of course, around the dreaded social media. When do you let your kid on social media if they're demanding it or begging for it? And the final one, it's my favorite. Is my kid spoiled? They've been diagnosed as spoiled at 18 years old, kid in the house. Usually the one who's treated differently. I'm saying this as the youngest member of my family. It's bound to happen. It's all happening here on Honey, You're Ruining Our Kid. Stick around. Our first email comes from a very sound listener. It says, Tina and Jarlath, myself and my husband love the pod. 4 kids. The youngest is 18. All right, this is straight into the spoiled kid one.
Yeah.
Right, brilliant. Okay. The youngest is 18. Here's the situation. My 18-year-old son has pretty much been spoiled rotten, and a therapist diagnosed him as spoiled, believe it or not.
No.
Who's can that this happen? Therapist?
Can they do
the
that?
The diagnosis is, your kid is a spoiled brat.
Well, how bratty was he for a therapist?
Where are these people as well? I want to know what country
I think they're in the UK.
Okay. Great therapist, by the way. Not enough therapists saying, your kid's a brat.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, here's my problem. He's 18, still in school, and has a job. One of the major reasons he keeps his job and stays in school is because us, his parents, wake him up. We explain over and over the importance of being up on time, waking yourself up with an alarm. He refuses to set an alarm or wake up from alarms we set him. We have to physically be there to wake him every time for work and for school, or he won't go. Or will be late. He is not in a position for me to make him walk or wake on his, or walk on his own, sorry, typo there, and face the consequences of not waking up. Now, that's where I would jump in. It's like he's not the wording of this is
legally make him go. The school can't
he's not
legally
in a position
make him go to school.
He is not in a position for me to make him walk or walk on his own to face the consequences of not waking him up, it's a tough one, right? He wouldn't graduate and he'd lose his job if I didn't wake him up, right? We make sure he gets there. We take him to and from work and school, and he refuses to walk. He will stay there and tell everyone that we didn't pick him up. So he'll wait at the school and be like, well, nobody's picked me up, so I'm not going to walk. He will flat out refuse to walk. What are you supposed to do? Kick him out? Stop him waking up and let him drop out of school? When is enough? How do you fix this? We didn't have this kind of trouble with the other three. Did we spoil our baby beyond repair? Please help, teenager.
Yes, you did. I'm sorry to say, yes, you did. That's really awful. My heart goes out to these parents.
There's always a repair team. There's always a way.
Well, it's
He's 18.
That's the problem, though. Because the school can't do anything about it either. They're dealing with an adult. Hmm. So he has to willingly come to school. Yeah. You know?
So what's this video you saw during the week where the guy was saying that you don't step in?
Oh, yeah. I can't remember the name of that doctor. He's one of the doctors on the TikTok.
Read it in the New York Times.
You know those psychologists now on the TikTok who make you feel bad about your parenting all of the time? And you're like, oh, crap, I'm doing something else wrong.
His point was that when we step in as parents, you're stealing an opportunity for learning from your kid.
The same thing was told to us by the year head of our son's school. And you know, sometimes you just need to hear it again. She said to us the first day of school 2 years ago, if they forget something, don't bring it in. Let them be responsible for themselves.
Yeah.
And this guy made the point that, are you doing it for them or your own self-esteem? Mm. Because when you do it for your own self-esteem, you're robbing them of their self-esteem.
So if you were thinking, I'll do it because I'm a good parent.
I don't even think that's the thought process you have. But unfortunately, what happens is you feel like you saved the day, but they learned no lessons.
Yeah.
They learned nothing.
Whereas if they forget their copybook, they have to live through the consequence of it and figure it out.
Yeah.
Like he said when, in that video, he said when they come to you with a problem, your answer needs to be, what are you going to do?
Yes. Or if they say, I'm so bored. Well, I can't wait to see what you're going to figure out.
Yeah, what you come up with.
Yeah, like it's very much in the same line of, you know, when a child is made hug you or hug somebody. And it's like, well, who is this hug for? Is it for them or for you? So who is this for? Or is it your self-esteem or theirs? Now, this is a very tricky situation. And these poor parents have dug themselves into a massive hole. I would say the school one is a nightmare. They've got a year of that left. I don't know what they can do. I definitely think they need to get into that school and have a meeting with the school and explain to them what they're living through.
Well, it's a parenting podcast, but this question is about an adult.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's really tricky because he's technically still under the, you know, they're still in charge of him, but they can't really enforce much because he can play the adult card. Like, I mean, the school can't enforce much. Sorry.
See, but my attitude to him would be straight away that they're presenting the possibility that he drops out of school and he loses his job.
Mm.
But they're catastrophizing there, right?
Well, the idea that he won't leave school unless he's collected.
Yeah, but like therein lies the problem.
Yeah.
Right? They're more concerned about the consequences than he is.
Absolutely.
Because he sees the consequences as their responsibility.
Yes.
They're like, you won't like it. The school sees you didn't pick me up.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. They got to get into that school and explain the situation so that he can't have any weird dialogue in there that they believe. They got to get in there and get clarity about what they're coping with at home. And then they need to stop waking him up. And if it's a possibility that he can walk to school, flip and walk to school. Why are you dropping him there? If it's so, you know,
hard,
and if he doesn't come home, he will eventually when he's left there and he's hungry. Okay? Mm. I really think drop the rope.
Really?
Drop the rope. This is an 18-year-old man. And obviously the job has perks. He gets paid for it. What's he buying with that money?
Get
if he doesn't
Uber
turn
home.
Up for work?
Yeah. Maybe
he's not
that's
getting
an
the
idea.
Money
get
anymore.
An Uber app onto the phone that he pays for from his own account. If you refuse to walk, you can pay for the journey.
Yeah. You're really not doing this kid any favors. Mm. You're really not. And it's so hard because we're all doing it. We are all in a habit of trying to make our lives, our children's lives easier. And in fact, we're making it harder because they're not thinking for themselves. They're just expecting.
The alarm, and Gina, like, honest to God, if your kid won't get out of bed, that's a very tricky one. Whatever about the dropping home from school, I think I've hit on something there with the Uber that, like, we won't pick you up. And if you are not into walking, well, you're choosing that and you're choosing to spend your money on that.
I feel like if they were able to sit down and have a family meeting with this grown man and explain to him, we have tried our best. We cannot continue this. We have our own lives too. Mm-hmm. And you deserve your own lives. Hmm. It is not your job to get your kid out of bed when he's 18.
No, it's gone. That day is over.
It is perfectly safe for him to be in the house by himself while you go about your business. You have done your part. Have a family meeting and say to him, it's on you now. We love you. We're here from you. Of course, we want to help you. But we're not facilitating your life. You're not a toddler who needs to be carried to the toilet. You're on your own. You know how to set the alarm. You know what's expected of you. Do it. It's going to be hard for us because we've been in such a habit of protecting you and enabling you. But we got
to... Right? What? So just to play devil's advocate on their behalf here. Mm. So she says in her email, we've tried to explain to him the importance of all of this.
Yeah, but they're still... But said, he's not afraid right? that they're going to stop.
Yeah, but they're... Do you know why? Because he knows you're not going to let me flunk out of school.
Yeah, but they've got to be willing to let him do that.
You think the advice for these parents is... You'd be ready for your kid to flunk out of school.
That's why the meeting with the teachers is so important first, before they have this meeting with him. Mm. Because they need a support system in place. They need to let them know we're struggling to get him there every day.
Isn't it a cautionary tale, though, this one? Yeah. Because I'm looking at your books behind you. There are owl babies and the different things that Tina's got here. And... raising conscientious kids is what we're after. Mm-hmm. Self-sufficient, conscientious human beings who know, like there's a bit in my stand-up show about people who are late having this abundance of confidence that everybody will adjust if I'm late. And if you aren't allowing them to face their consequences of their actions, they hit 18.
Yeah.
And here they are where they think, well, why won't people just adjust to my, this is who I am. You know, I'm late for things.
I know. But you know what? I really feel like some of it is because a lot of us were raised in a way that we didn't feel like we were supported enough. And maybe things could have been different. And so with our own children, we want to just make sure they're happy all the time. Like we see this all the time. We've got friends who are really struggling with their kids because they had an unhappy childhood and all they want is for their child to be happy all the time. But that is not reality. Nobody is happy all the time. And it's really important that your child knows that. You're not going to feel contentment at all times. Mm-hmm. And like the people we see who are struggling the most are the people who are trying to fix it all that time. Their child doesn't have to do anything because you've already done it for them. And it's really scary because this is not an isolated case. This is so common right now. Every school in the world is struggling with children turning up. Right now in our son's school, they're doing an every day counts. And the
campaign
for...
to argue that every day in school matters.
Yeah. And what they've done is they've asked... other children, it's the children who are saying to each other, check in on your friends, make sure they get to school, tell them how much it means to you when you have them there to hang out with. Wow. I mean, this is where we are right now. And I really feel like it's our fault.
Yeah.
We are over parenting.
Mm. And it's so really tricky. You've really hit on a lot there in terms of the, I just want them to be happy all the time.
Yeah.
Stop. Stop
that's,
it.
That's not it.
And like companies are describing this too. Yeah. I want a promotion. Yeah. And it's like, well, you don't get a promotion every week.
Yeah. And you know what we've forgotten? We've forgotten that those moments from our childhood that were hard, something good came out of that.
Yeah,
of
even course, if it was not just boredom.
Not if it's awful, tragic stuff. But yeah. I mean, like, you know, for me, I was very unwell as a teenager, really unwell. I missed a lot of school, spent a lot of time in bed. But something good came out of that because it made me tough. It made me really tough and it made me aware of being grateful for absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's hard to see your child struggle, but don't forget there's something else. Like you always say, diamonds, you know, pressure creates diamonds. Yeah.
The, you know, getting the school on board, like whoever is
Well, they have no choice. They have to go to school, these people.
Whoever's listening to this feeling like there's echoes of this in my kid, then yeah, they're not 18 yet, but they won't get out of bed. And getting them out the door, as we know, is a big problem. Getting the school on board with this is crucial. And I guess you do need your school to be conscientious that way. Like, I remember that in England, the school coming around to the house to help get the kid out the door.
Easy to do that in primary school. Well, not easy, but easier. But secondary school, a whole different ballgame.
Because, like, the consequences, like, just the consequence of being late has to be clear.
Yeah.
And it just being on you, that it has to be on you. Because this is a state of arrested development.
Yes.
This kid has not had to be on time.
But he doesn't care about himself. Like, there's so many problems here. And they've already brought him to counselling. And, I mean, for a professional...
To say that's
very unprofessional. What have they on their hands?
Yeah.
Because for them to be like, oh, no, there's nothing wrong with your child. He's just spoiled.
Well, fair play to you, Tina, for being as straight as you've been with them. But I'm sure they're very used to straight talking on this.
Well, I do feel sorry for them. Stop.
It's going to be hard for a bit.
Worrying about him. Start worrying about you guys. Look, focus on you guys for a while now. You've done everything you can do. That has not worked.
Mm.
Okay? So now it's okay to let him...
Because when you say, is he to flunk out and lose his job, does he even have the job if he's not getting up for the job?
Yeah, like he's...
Like that's not... Realistically, that's not having a job. It's like people who go, oh, he could be a comedian. No.
Mm.
If he could, he would.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they could do it, they'd do it. If he is capable of having a job, he'll keep his job.
Yeah.
If he's not capable of getting up, he doesn't have it in him to have a job.
Yeah.
You're convincing him he does, but he doesn't.
Yeah, no, he will get there. There's hope for all these kids. There really is. There's hope. But he won't get there if you keep pulling him out of bed.
You know what my father would say? And he's like, right, kick in the hole. Real quick, did you ever have a bad parent-teacher meeting where they reported something back to your mother that she was like, well, you have to pull up your socks?
No. No, I did not.
That's just not your experience.
No. I don't even remember my parents going to any of my parent-teacher meetings.
Didn't show up.
I don't know if they did. I think in primary school, but I never remember having any in secondary school. Never.
Never?
No, I don't remember that.
God, well, my mother was a... Languages teacher. My mother taught German and French and all sorts, and she was in like Flynn every single time. Like, no question, she'd be there, and you'd get the report back on what was said, but I already knew what was going to be said.
Yeah, you were a diva. Like, I was just trying to be the best girl all the time.
It's so funny because the way I do my job now, no stone is left unturned. Literally, I'm so rigorous with what I do as a job now. There is no way those teachers would have said, he's going to be a really diligent, creative entertainer.
Because I read your reports and every time they were like, this guy has so much potential if he just try. I mean, the fact that you showed those to her son, I was like, no, do not show those reports.
Oh, I thought it was important. It didn't affect his work. It made him go, why wasn't my dad working?
Well, you just didn't believe in yourself, sweetheart.
I just found it really boring. That was the main thing. I was just like, it's so boring. I remember saying to my parents, they're just going to give you more work.
Oh, my God.
I was like, what's the point in doing it? They're like, there's going to be more homework after this.
Oh, my God. And were your parents not appalled by your attitude?
I was like, I'll be fine by the exams, but I was just like, I guess they also, they just didn't think that I was gonna. Like,
they didn't think you were smart. My kid's wicked smart. I really regret not getting that t-shirt in Boston. When we go back, nobody is stopping me. I'm buying that t-shirt.
May as well do the shout out to the tour. Now, last week we were in the Olympia for 5 shows over 4 nights.
It's flipping amazing.
Absolutely bollocks. You've no idea how tired that makes you. It's not tarring roofs. It's not being a nurse. It's not being a school teacher.
Mm.
But, I mean, I was rinsed last week. I just absolutely felt like a bus hit me.
I didn't notice you being moody or anything. No,
really?
No, it's all good.
Oh, my God. I was tired. But thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone who came out.
Yeah.
And everyone came out to the University Concert Hall in Limerick.
Oh, yeah, we need to shout out to Mom of Twisp, is what she calls herself on Twitter. Really lovely lady, big fan of the podcast. Was so
big fan of you. She was nearly there to see you, not me.
She was so nice. And I am not the greatest person to meet at the gigs, because if you pay me a compliment, I completely withdraw into myself and I'm like, oh my God, I'm too embarrassed to talk. So... Apologies for that.
Yeah,
yeah, but, apologies for that.
It's been amazing. And next week, I'm off to Armagh. That is...
my favourite venue, Armagh. I love it. I love Armagh town.
Gorgeous.
I just think it's just gorgeous. Actually, I love Northern Ireland. This tour has made us be able to go up and explore Northern Ireland. And I bloody love it. Although, do you know what? We went to Northern Ireland for my birthday. We stayed in a beautiful hotel. Loved it. And because we'd been so busy on tour... this week, we had to go to a funeral during the week too, and Jarlett was looking for his good jacket.
Oh, no.
And we're like, where the hell's that jacket? And I knew the last time he'd worn that was on my birthday. So 2 weeks ago we'd been in this hotel, and then we ring them and they're like, we rang a lot of people, to be fair, and a lot of people took it very seriously, this hotel not so much. Anyway, we ring them and they were like, oh yeah, yeah, no, we have that, it's in Lost Property. And we're like, yeah, why didn't you get in touch? I still don't understand that.
They were trying to keep it.
It turns out they didn't just have Jarlett's jacket. They had like four of his shirts, some shorts. A lot of stuff was up there. We had to get in the car, drive
up to down.
Could they care less?
No.
They couldn't have given less of a shit.
But we got to go for coffee and have a nice walk.
Yeah, we did do that. And then we came back. But yeah, the funny thing about it was, normally when we're leaving a hotel, I sweep the room. Because my boys are just on another planet.
On this occasion.
Jared was like, no, it's your birthday. You're not doing
that.
I'll do all that.
Or not do it, as the case may be. You're not doing it. No one's doing it.
So the one time I don't sweep the room, he forgets.
Got my jacket back, though.
Yeah, a leather jacket that cost a lot.
A lot of money, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a leather jacket that costs that much money. Just
I've tried to buy you the leather jacket.
I couldn't wear it. I'd be so...
It's not quite the leather jacket that I want.
Oh, no.
It's what I always get. Anyway, the tour moves on to Cork on February 7th and 8th. And we've just released the venue holes and reserves for those. So there's going to be a couple of tickets left for February 7th and 8th in the Everyman Theatre in Cork. Everything, Bray, London, Roscommon, Kilkenny, Navan, Ennis, all sold out all the way to April. Thank you so much for buying tickets. Few tickets left for Westport. And then it's off to Vancouver, Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, LA, New York, Boston, Washington and Toronto. And you can find tickets for all of those at jigzer.com/gigs. Let's get to our second question of the day. And this really is a goodie. For anybody who feels guilt around what they're doing with their kid. Tina and Jared, I love your podcast. My friend told me about it and I'm hooked. I know Tina's struggling to keep up with the emails, so
that's
I understand
true.
It might take a while for you guys to get back to me. Well, here we are. Could I have some advice, please? I know I'm a terrible mother for letting this go on so long, but my little girl is 3 in April and still has a bottle of milk before bed. Then, if she wakes up through the night, she will cry and cry and cry till I give in and give her another bottle of milk. I've tried loads of different sippy cups and she won't physically drink from them. Do I just go cold turkey? Do I cut out the milk completely? I'm worried about her teeth. If I'm really honest, other moms judging me.
Yeah, of course.
The male gaze, the mom gaze.
Oh, the mom gaze, yeah. Yeah, no. Look, first of all, if your child is happy with that bottle of milk, I know they're 3 and they're a big guy, because it's always funny when you're an early years teacher, because when you hear parents tell you what these kids that you treat as grown-ups in your class are getting up to at home, you're like, I'm sorry, what? They're still in the cot. I just made him clean out the press.
They're little individuals, little workhorse.
Yeah. What do you mean? He just, like, we just did all this stuff and
he's doing the accounts for the school. The guy's a bookkeeper.
It's so true.
Damn, he's getting a bottle. Yeah.
But like, I mean, I know I'd probably get in trouble for this from every dentist in town, but if your child goes to bed happy with a bottle...
But the kid isn't going to bed happy with the bottle. Yeah. He's waking up on
And that's that, that's my second thing. Give me a chance, Charlotte.
Oh, would you let me talk?
Look, this is an easy fix as far as I'm concerned. Your child is hungry. They're not waking up looking for the bottle. They're waking up hungry. And look, my mom gave me a really great piece of advice when Mikey was small. Supper. We still do it to this day. Your kid needs a bit more food before they go to bed. And this is a great way of phasing out the bottle.
Right.
Because, you know, the semolina and a glass of water, or some
toast
and a glass of milk, all is a lot more exciting than a bottle. For sure.
Yeah.
And we'll keep them full till morning. And they're waking up hungry.
You can say it's a big kid thing.
Yeah. Or this, you know, I've noticed that, yeah, actually, it's a big kid thing. What's the harm? But you don't have to say anything at all. You can just be like, make it really.
But only big kids get supper.
Well, I don't know. Then you're making it a thing.
Fuck these other kids.
Or you could be like, just make it a special thing. Make it cozy. Let's watch a cartoon and have our supper. And then, you know, your child's waking up because they're hungry, because they're growing so much. They're growing, growing, growing. And I always say this to people whose kids won't sleep through the night and they're like two or three. I'm like, you know, when was the last time they ate before you put them to bed? Because you're expecting them to get through the night on not a full tummy, and that's just not going to happen. So I would always suggest maybe 40 minutes before you start story time or bath time or whatever your bedtime routine is. Get semolina or, you know, Liga or a slice
something
of toast.
They like.
Something they like that will just make them feel cozy and lovely going to bed. Like some people do milk and cookies. Whatever, it's up to you. You
it's
could
funny,
do crackers.
A lot of us have a biscuit and a cup of tea before bed ourselves.
And we don't do it for
and
our
we don't
children.
Do it for the kids.
We have kept this going. It works for us.
It works. Yeah.
It has always worked. And anyone I've told them, it's worked.
It's worked, yeah.
I mean, if she likes the comfort of the bottle, that's not going to last forever.
Yeah.
Soon she won't want it because she'll feel silly about it.
But also the parents' question, though, is around the sippy cup and not wanting the sippy cup. What do you advise there?
Well, that is tricky. We had that too. Like, yeah. We just had that too.
Oh,
what
that.
It is just try and keep the bottle for the nighttime feed. Don't bother with the sippy cup. Give them a actual plastic cup. You know, some kids just don't like that.
I wonder if she tried a straw in a glass.
Straw in a glass, great idea, Charlotte. And a straw.
I was due.
And actually, there's so much anti-straw stuff, but those straws help with your speech. So that is a really good exercise for your kid. The sucking of the straw is super good. Charlotte's so proud of himself.
Question number three is a doozy. You're going to need to come over to patreon.com/Irishmanabroad to hear it. It's all about social media. Your kid demanding social media. They've reached that age. They've decided they want to be out there in the big bad world. And Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg are going to run their lives from them from now on.
I hate social media.
Well,
it's been good to us, but I hate it for kids.
I don't at all.
I really do for children.
I want to talk about this more because I heard some really annoying comments about social media being vulgar. I have so much to talk about here because really, the amount of loneliness in the world, the connection that it's providing for people, everything has a downside. But we need to get into this. It's in the third question today on Honey, You're Ruining Our Kid. Over on patreon.com/Irishmanabroad, it's a fiver a month. You'll get the extended cuts each week. But you'll also get access to our full back catalogue of extended episodes and interviews with the greatest Irish people ever to have lived. That's the place where the archive of Irishman Abroad is going to live from now on, and you can access it for the price of your membership. Cancel anytime you like, no obligation. You won't be tied in for any length of time. It's not a Ring doorbell. Off you go. 1 month of it, that's fine by us. We will see you over there. Tina, thank you so much for doing
this. Thank you, Charlotte.